The views and opinions expressed by the following program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station or the Webster Rock Hill Ministries, its management, or other host or underwriting sponsors. Programs presented on KWRHLP are for educational and entertainment purposes only. Views which are presented are for educational purposes only and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or claim any cure of disease or condition.
This is Amanda LaPlante, and you're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM, and happy Friday to you. I am here today with Dr. Jason Wibbenmeyer of Innovative Health Partners in Webster Groves, Missouri. So you're a local guy. We love that. Welcome.
I am. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So excited to have you on. And, you know, we've got some great stuff to talk about today. One of the biggest turning points in my health journey was realizing the connection between the gut and the brain. You know, for years, I was just given pill after pill to treat mental health symptoms that I was having, not realizing that there was a whole other way to go about that.
Oh yeah, there is. I mean, it's a concept that's new to a lot of people, but so much mounting research is showing that there is and has been a connection between the gut and the brain. You know, embryologically, they were formed in this one big mush, and then they divide into two separate entities, but they're still connected by that nervous system. So a lot of people don't know that interconnectedness between the two.
And you have had your own storied experience with the gut-brain connection and moving through some symptoms that you were dealing with. Can just share a little bit about that?
Definitely. So that's what inspired me to think a little bit differently about the healthcare that I provide. So when I was in school, when I was in chiropractic school, learning to be a healer and quickly realizing that burning the candle at both ends, diet was suffering, workouts were suffering. My life was severely impacted, and I was actually becoming a patient rather than learning how to be a doctor. I was developing anxiety. I'd never experienced that before. And when I found myself crouched down in a corner during a practicum with a professor in a full-blown panic attack, I realized that something was wrong. I had GI issues that were coming out of nowhere. I had autoimmune in my family, and I knew that I needed to take control. So I went to the doctor. That's what people do, right? You go to the doctor. And that was a turning point for me because I sat in front of the doctor and I was vulnerable. And I told him my deepest health concerns and issues. And I left angry because to me, he had the audacity to look at me and say, oh, I think you're dealing with IBS and, you know, some general anxiety. And here's some Prozac. And my thoughts were, this is the best you can do, you know? And I felt empowered, though, to really take matters in my own hand and learn how I can incorporate lifestyle changes to feel better. And that's what I did. I did what I knew how to do. I detoxed, I changed my diet, I started moving my body, I was trying to get more sleep. And when I did that, I saw my brain function, my cognition, my anxiety go down. And my GI issues were miraculously changing, right? Improving. And so that was the turning point, the pivotal turning point that made me realize this is exactly what I want to do with my patients.
And, you know, living through it, doesn't that just create such a difference too as a practitioner?
It does.
To be able to connect and go, yeah, you know what, I know where you are.
It does. It makes you relatable as a physician. It opens up a conversational piece that some patients, they don't know who to go to. They don't know where to find the answers. But when they learn that you have gone through this, that you as a physician, you're not perfect. You've gone through some stuff. You have those things that you struggle with daily. And it makes you at a different level that's not superior, right? It makes you someone that is enjoyable to work with. And I think that patients are hungry for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I speak with so many of my clients who say, you know, they feel like doctors are an authority. you know, and there's an intimidation factor, and
right.
they're not relatable. They're not human sometimes. So yeah, I think this makes all the difference in the world for you to share that story and be so open about it. That's
Certainly.
Really cool.
Yep.
So let's talk about some of the connections between these two systems, the gut and the brain, right?
Yeah.
GI and...
Definitely, because yeah. I think it's, like I said, it's a new concept for some people. And honestly, I think it's something that even the medical community has forgotten about. You know, in medicine, the gut is called the second brain, and it's called that for a reason, right? Like I said, it's connected by a part of the nervous system, specifically something called the vagus nerve. And the vagus nerve, I always explain it as a direct highway or a direct pathway that connects the gut and the brain. And what people may not know is that our GI system has its own ecosystem of bugs, of bacteria. And these bugs and these bacteria do things like digest our food, produce vitamins and minerals, but they're also responsible for helping your body and your GI system produce a lot of your neurotransmitters. So a lot of your neurotransmitters are actually produced in the GI system. So someone that has depression or anxiety might get told they need to be on an antidepressant. And so that supports serotonin, your happy neurotransmitter. And actually, the majority of that's produced in the gut. And the way the gut and the brain communicate is through neurotransmitters, through chemical messengers. And that's exactly what people experience when they have brain fog, low mood, mental issues that can actually be impaired and also affected by the foods you eat, how much inflammation you have, whether you're holding on to your stool and you can't eliminate. You know, those are things that people don't think about and can really affect the brain because of these chemical messenger impairments.
Yeah, that makes so much sense to me, having lived through that. And I have to say, there were a few, knowing the way that I was self-medicating, you can self-medicate not, you know, with different types of food, different lifestyle decisions, right? Not just the medication that your doctor prescribes. And I think I've got an interesting amino acid therapy chart that I've run across that really helped me to figure out some of the things that I was dealing with. So I noticed, you know, dopamine was an issue for me. And so amino acids like L-tyrosine can help with that, which of course we get from poultry. So it's so interesting to think about how food can impact these neurotransmitters as well, not just the environment and condition of the gut, but also the things that we're putting into it, right? What were some of the food triggers for you that you figured out?
You are correct. I mean, food is powerful. It can either hurt or help us. And a lot of our the nutrients that we need, a lot of the neurotransmitter supports that we need can come from food, or we might be eating something that is impairing the production of it. For me personally, I was just finding that I was becoming more inflamed. Inflammation is a buzzword out there right now, and it's an ambiguous word. A lot of people don't really know what it looks like in the body. So for me, it was more inflammatory responses that was causing what I would say an inflamed gut causes an inflamed brain. And for me, it was dairy. I know that if I ate dairy, it really, really impacted my GI system. And I could tell that my brain wasn't working right the next day. And so on the other side of that, I have found that the way of eating for me that works well, that I feel better both in the gut and the brain, I just make sure I get enough fiber, right? So I eat my vegetables. I have a primarily plant-based diet, and then I incorporate animal proteins because that works well for me. So I just know the foods that I personally do well with versus what I don't do well with. And then obviously there's amino acids and different types of nutrients.
Yeah, I kind of dove off the deep end
that one.
But yeah, because you're right. It starts with the inflammatory responses. And for me, it was dairy is a little bit of one, but I mean, it definitely can make a difference for a lot of people. Gluten was just like my kryptonite.
Mm-hmm.
It was just awful. And so getting those inflammatory foods out and then fine-tuning the diet a little bit further to say, okay, I need a little bit more of this, and this type of protein because that's working well for me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, I mean, again, gluten is a word that a lot of people are familiar with. And I get asked a lot, it's like, oh, is it just a fad? Or, you know, do people really need to go gluten-free? And I And there's a lot of research out there to show what gluten can actually do to the barrier or the lining of the brain and the GI system. And if you are already in an inflamed state, gluten can actually molecularly change our systems where it can cause more inflammation. So it doesn't necessarily mean that everyone needs to go gluten-free, but in order for healing to happen and for brain fog to go down and for digestive issues to go down, we may need to, especially with my patients, I might eliminate or experiment with taking certain foods out or even implementing different types of foods to restore those bugs that I was talking about before to help digest your food, but also take away what's adding fuel to the fire. I explain inflammation whether it's in the GI system or the brain as basically a wildfire. And it's interesting because we just experienced a very tremendous and heartbreaking wildfire in California yet again. And it's very comparable to what's going on in our body, right? Widespread inflammation and widespread fire. And we're a society that really needs to see how can we get this low-grade fire out of our system and actually restore it so that you don't have these chronic diseases that are in our modern medicine now.
I love the way you put that. Yeah, and I think it's something like 90% of diseases diagnosed are rooted in chronic inflammation. So that wildfire.
Exactly. Our chronic diseases, like you said, 80 to 90% of them are inflammatory in nature. You have diabetes, cancers, autoimmune diseases, cardiovascular disease. A lot of these are chronic lifestyle issues. And while medicine can really help make symptoms go down, it's not getting down to the root of the system and what's going on. You really want to leave no stone unturned, figuring out where is this inflammation coming from. And so when you're talking about the gut and the brain, you're going to look at two factors. You're going to look at, yes, what are the foods I'm eating that could be irritating me? What's my environment like? But we have to account for emotions, right? Fear, anger, anxiety, depression, sadness, loneliness. Those are things that are becoming epidemic in our society. And that emotional cascade can actually be the cause of inflammation in the brain. So when I have a patient that comes in that has experienced some significant losses in their life, or they are prone to depression, or they lost their job, I'm going to ask them, hey, how's the health of your GI system? Have you noticed anything? Because of that communication between the two can really work together and, like I said, support each other or bring each other down.
So I want to pause for just a second and reach out and say thank you to our underwriter here. Get Real to Heal is proud to be underwritten by AFC Urgent Care, which is located across from the Brentwood City Hall. We all know that flu season is right around the corner, so no matter how many times you have your kids wash their hands, you know there's a possibility that they're going to catch and spread the flu to your entire household. As a family care provider, AFC Urgent Care can diagnose and treat all the members of your family. AFC Urgent Care is open 7 days a week, long after traditional physician hours end. And more information can be found on AFC Urgent Care's website, www.afcurgentcare.com/Brentwood, or by calling 314-731-6265. I know there are a lot of people having anxiety about the flu right now, so it's a good time to interject that. So I want to dive back into a couple of things that I noted as you were talking. So how do you know what foods to pull out? I know I have some ways that I work with clients. I'm interested in finding out what kind of testing or methods that you're using to help people really dial in on what's causing that inflammation.
Right. So I use a lot of advanced lab testing to figure out what foods might be detrimental to your health, what's actually causing your health issues. I used to do a lot of food allergy testing, and I don't do it so much anymore. I'll use it every once in a while if I'm really looking for something specific. But food allergy testing is a fantastic way. If I have a patient that says, you know what, I just, no matter what I eat, I just feel like I'm bloated or gassy, or it affects my brain, I can't focus, I may run a food panel on them, and I'm looking for something called antibodies, which is an immune response to a food protein that you're eating. So there's a lot of different food allergy testing out there that is fantastic for patients looking for answers. And what's great about food allergy testing is that you stop guessing. You stop the guessing game. You really figure out, how can I tailor a personalized plan that, if you're on this quest for healing, that you can now navigate your kitchen a little bit better. You know what to cook. You know what to order when you're out at a restaurant. And I think knowing that is very empowering, because you stop that guessing game. So food allergy testing is really effective to knowing how you can devise a workable plan. And then I always explain that it's not to say that now you have to eliminate those foods for the rest of your life. Let's go through a gut healing protocol. Let's get the inflammation down and see if we can slowly implement those foods back into your system. I do find that some patients just don't tolerate. They don't produce the right enzymes. Their inflammation's still high for whatever reason, and we still have to then take that food away. So food allergy testing is a fantastic way and pretty cost-effective way to really figure out a tailored system. I will devise a treatment plan depending on, if I know the health history of a patient, I might be able to say, you know what, let's pull these three foods out. It may not be the same as the person that was in before, but let's pull these three foods out and see how you do. Do the symptoms go down? But it's not going to be the same foods for every person. So that's where working with someone can really help you see the patterns, connect the dots, and figure out what is the right way of addressing food. And sometimes, like I said before, it may not always be about eliminating and taking food away. It's just maybe they're not eating the right amount of a certain type of food. And that could be the indicator of what they need to help improve the GI system, as well as brain cognition. If you're not getting enough healthy fats, if you're not eating enough fiber, if you're not eating enough protein, that's really going to be symptomatically showing up in different ways other than just, oh, I need to pull this out and I need to pull that out.
And so many times when I mention that it's important for people to eat healthy fats and get enough fat in, because of course we know cholesterol helps our cells communicate and it helps in a lot of other processes in the body, right? It's essential. And I think 3/4 of it is produced by our liver. Is that something like that?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yes. I mean, clearly we need it. But a lot of people are still very confused about the fat thing. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. There was a time, I guess still a time, where people think that fat is bad. And, you know, I say that's kind of 1975 way of thinking. You know, there was a time where the sugar industry was overpowering the food industry. And what I always say is that if you take fat away from your food, so if you're at the grocery store and you see something called low fat, and people, you know, think that they're going to make a really good decision with that, well, they have to replace the fat with sugar because you need flavor for that food, right? And so sugar is actually the thing that you should be more afraid of, and refined sugar than fat. So there's obviously good fats and bad fats, but I think that we're starting to, as a society, realize that these healthy fats are actually beneficial for us for many different reasons. And we're getting further away from thinking that we need to stay away from fat, that and that's the answer, essentially. So, yeah, I mean, there's lots of different diets and protocols out there that are really pushing the healthy fats. But I'm more of an advocate of a well-rounded, conscious way of eating and mindful way of eating and doing it what's right for you. There's no cookie cutter way of doing it. So talking with someone and working with a professional who knows this, a nutritionist, a functional medicine doctor, they will be able to help tailor a system for you.
Yeah, absolutely great advice there. I want to double back to gluten for just a moment.
Yes.
It comes to mind. So bipolar and schizophrenia run in my family, which is terrifying, but a reality. And I know there's some pretty solid research out there showing that there is a connection between gluten and those conditions. Are you familiar with that research by chance?
I am, not specifically about the schizophrenia. I do know there's a lot of research out there supporting how gluten can, like, again, as I said before, be inflammatory to the brain and how it alters the neurotransmitters and how it can actually, I call it brain on fire. So gluten can actually be that fuel that I was talking about, right? Adding fuel to the fire, and it can actually molecularly at a deeper level cause inflammation and make our wiring system in our brain not communicate properly. It's kind of like you have like crossed wires in the house, and when you turn on the dining room light, it turns on the switch, it turns on the kitchen light, right? So there's a cross wire there, and there is a research out there to show that gluten can actually be the cause of that.
That was certainly my experience. At one point a few years ago, I was diagnosed bipolar, and it was, of all the diagnoses I had received, that one really shook me. It changed the way that I saw myself as a person, the way that I related in the world. It made me question my own thoughts, and sometimes with good reason. And when we pulled out gluten, we found that my mood stabilized. Everything got better. I could think more clearly. And there have been some other triggers as well. You know, of course, excitatory, inflammatory agents like soy, MSG specifically, also contribute to that condition for me, I think, at least to the ADD and anxiety especially. But yeah, it's been amazing to see what a difference that made. And I look back in my family history and my line, you know, I had a great grandmother who was locked away back in, I guess, the 70s, and, you know, it, diagnosed with bipolar and schizophrenia eventually, because there's a pretty fine line between those two conditions. And I wonder how much of a difference this kind of information could have made for her. And so I want to make sure to pause and mention that. It's a sensitive subject, and I always feel a little bit vulnerable when I put that out there. But for anyone that's listening, I want you to know that there could be a connection with those conditions.
No, thank you for that. I think that that is, mental health is, it should not be separated from our physical body, right? It's part of our body, part of our whole body health. And to expand on that, as far as gluten goes, because again, the research is out there. I try to my best to explain to patients that gluten, you don't have to have celiac disease in order to have a gluten intolerance. You can have a sensitivity or an allergy to it. And gluten does the same thing to our gastrointestinal lining to every single person. It's just a matter of how much inflammation you have. And what happens is it alters those neurotransmitters, those chemical messengers that signal the brain, which could cause those mental health issues that you're talking about. So again, if you can experiment with gluten, if that's the one thing you take away from this, experiment and talk to your doctor about that and say, hey, I want to see if this affects my brain. Just know that it really does impact the GI lining, and how when it, think of the cells in our gut have, it's almost like a gatekeeper. It allows things in and out that shouldn't be in or out, right? And gluten actually allows those gates to stay open longer than normal, allowing things to pass through. So if that's affecting the neurotransmitter production and how much inflammation we hold, again, remember that's communicated through the nervous system going up to the brain. So I won't get too deep into that, but there is definitely a connection, and talking about the gut and the brain and how food, again, can be a very powerful source in both our mental and our physical bodies.
And I was talking to someone yesterday, and a new health coach that's coming into St. Louis, into the area, is going to be really great and make a big difference. He was actually a test subject back when he was a kid for Ritalin. So I'm going to actually tie back to ADD and ADHD right now. And, you know, he said flash forward into his teen years, it started developing into anxiety and other things. And he really had, you know, kind of an anorexia situation going on as well from the medication. So, you know, now he's an adult and he realizes that it's food and lifestyle choices and all of these things and the gut-brain connection. And so it was a really interesting conversation with him. And, you know, what is some of the advice that you might have for people that are maybe dealing with it? Now, granted, you're not a pediatrician. However, I think it begs the question, right? We're seeing such a rise in medication for a variety of issues in kids.
Exactly. You're right. I'm not a pediatrician, but I do see a lot of children. And what I find, and I kind of look back at when I was a kid and what I was eating, right? I mean, I did not have the best diet. I was eating Pop-Tarts and pizza rolls and things like that. So you look back and kind of go, oh gosh, I was, you know, that was not great. But my parents didn't know any better. And so for the parents out there, just to take something into consideration is that food does affect brain function. So if you have a child with attention issues, concentration, maybe they're not doing well with their homework, teachers are saying they have ADD. Just know that things in our food could be affecting that. It could be that what I say that maybe they have a high beige diet, right? So it's sugar, flour, and dairy, right? So, and food dyes to make it look like it's colorful. So food dyes have been linked to that as well. And that can cause inflammation. That can cause brain cognition issues. So just know that, ADD and mental health issues in kids is not a deficiency in Ritalin. You got to really figure out what's causing this brain to be on fire in the children. It can definitely be tied to food. It can be tied to screen time, how much blue light we're getting. It can be tied to sleep or lack thereof. Stress. I mean, kids are more stressed now than ever. So there's a lot of factors that go into it, but food is a definite place to start. As far as getting them good, nutritious, healthy, powerful food, and stay away from the ones that can actually cause the inflammation.
Dr. Jason Wibbenmeyer, it has been a fantastic time having you here. I absolutely love the work you do. Tell people how they can follow you or get in touch.
Yes, thank you. My website is innovativehp.com. You can follow me on social media, Instagram at Dr. Jason Wibbenmeyer, and on Facebook at facebook.com, Innovative Health Partners.
And I want to again thank our underwriter, AFC Urgent Care of Brentwood, for supporting this show and this programming here on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. A staggering 70 million people suffer from digestive issues. That's why I wanted to create a course to help this epidemic. My 8-week gut health restoration course, Get Real to Heal Your Gut, is jam-packed with everything that you need to know about your gut and how to heal it. Reach out to me at amandalaplant.com to find out more information about this and other programs that I offer. And for more information or a free assessment or consultation, you can reach out to me at 314-583-6749. Go make it a great day.